Well, I have to say that the first couple of days this week were the worst days I've had since my wife came home. You say, what happened? Well, got up there into the court system with fallible judges and fallible lawyers. And I even told that one lawyer, I said, you know what the Bible says about lawyers? No. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. He goes, whoa. You ought to know what your creator said about you. Anyway, let's get started here this morning. Now, in the last few weeks, we've been talking about some of God's marvelous creation. Go back over to Psalm 145. Some great stuff in here. And you need to just memorize this stuff. So maybe if nothing else, repetition will help you. Starting in verse 2, we'll go 2 to 6. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. You bless God every day? You know what blessing is, right? It's making him happy. You're created for his pleasure, right? God's angry with the wicked every day. Well, you're the righteous. And if you don't put forth any effort to praise his name, to bless him, then you're not very profitable. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. How great is the one that made us? When you stop and think about that, he is beyond our comprehension. The Bible says it's unsearchable. How great is he? His greatness is unsearchable. We can't even begin to comprehend it. Last Wednesday, I was sitting there and I made some notes. I said, you know, out of all God's creation, we're the only part of his creation that is designed by him to interact with him. We're the only ones. And God put something in us, an ability in us, and a curiosity in us, and an independence in us, and a freedom in us, and a free will in us, in such a way that we can actually interact with the one who created us. You realize those birds out there don't try to figure out and understand God? I'm sure that they're aware of him. If the rocks would have cried out at certain points in time, then you have to realize that God does all kinds of things. I mean, when he can control the hornets, you know, the hornets come and they drive them out. And there's other cases similar to that where he has all the fish come up there and throw the net around them. They're all obedient, but they don't interact with him. They don't actually praise his name because they understand who he is. They praise his name because of who he is. We don't even get that far. But he's given us that freedom to be able to do what we want to do and interact with him in a special way. And what we're going to talk about this morning is pretty simple. You guys are probably involved with it at least on a weekly basis, if not more often. And that's simply a chicken egg. But you know, that chicken egg is unique. In fact, everything God makes is unique. To start with, he created a firmament. What is that? That's a vacuum. And then he puts all this stuff in it, and it's floating around, and it stays on this time schedule for thousands of years. And at the same time, it's changing over thousands of years. They say the earth is slowing down, the sun is burning out, and all this other stuff's coming together and going apart, and everything's moving at super high speed. I mean, right now, you guys are moving at 1,100 miles an hour. You know that? I mean, well, if you're on the equator, you're slowed down a little bit because you're not right on the equator. And if this thing stopped all of a sudden, you realize what would be left of everything? It'd be like dropping it in a blender. There wouldn't be anything left. Anyway, so God makes all of this stuff, and he sets it up and designs it to function in certain ways. And everything that he makes is really unique. We got some weeds out there in our yard. And last year, I was out there in some sweatpants running around doing some stuff. And I looked down, and here's all these little black things sticking on me. So what is this? I start pulling them off. I say, oh, some crazy weed, you know. On the ends of these little seeds, while they're on the plant, here's all of these little spiny things that just stick right to you. Well, he got all kinds of stuff like that. God's got so many different ways for that stuff to transport the seed and move it around. It's just unreal. You think of cattails and how those things blow across there. You know, you think of pampas grass and you watch the pampas grass blowing across, especially if you're allergic to it. Then you got acorns. They're falling off underneath the tree. You know how many acorns need to be grown right underneath the tree? Very few. So what's he do? He takes his little farmers. What's that? Tree rats. They grab those things, go off and bury them at a distance, you know. God set the whole thing up. How long did it take him? Not long. When you're that good, it don't take long. Anyway, Genesis 1:20-23, it says, "And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly." Abundantly, they're still finding new stuff. There's things down in the bottom of that ocean they still have never seen, don't even know exist. They're finding out stuff constantly. It's like, wow, how does this stuff grow down here in that underwater volcano with temperatures of 800 to 1,000 degrees, and here's life running around in that stuff? Super high sulfur content. Wow, that's amazing. Starts violating all the basic principles of science that men have believed for thousands of years, or at least for hundreds. Anyway, and it says, "Brought forth and abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." What came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, you know what came first. You don't have to figure that kind of stuff out. They talk about if there's a tree falls in a forest and there's nobody to hear it, did it make any noise? I have argued that stuff with my father-in-law, and believe me when I'm telling you, he argued that stuff just like it was a rational thought process. You know what? That tree made noise in a forest whether you existed or not. God heard it. It don't matter whether you're even there to ask the question. It don't matter. You can ask fools questions all your life. It don't matter. You know what matters? The one that made you. You can't come up with anything that matters. You cannot. It's not possible for you to excel beyond the greatness of your Creator. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you think you're important, you're only as important as He thinks you are. And if you have no value to Him, you have no value whatsoever. Your existence is all vanity, just like Solomon said. Anyway, moving along here. That little old egg's about 2 ounces, and it's a totally self-contained unit. That thing's got everything inside of it that it already needs. And I was wrestling around here these last few weeks wondering, how in the world does that bee realize how to make honey? How does that bee learn to create a queen bee with that formula that they feed it? How do those things end up keeping that hive cool, and how do they do all of this stuff? How does a spider know how to spin its web? We're going to talk about one in the near future that spins 7 different kinds of webs, one spider. Anyway, I think about that stuff, and then I realized, my children are a product of my wife and myself. And in that DNA chain is everything that they know to get started. You know what else is in there? Their personality is in there. That means that there's some kind of stuff going on inside of that DNA chain that's more than just how tall they're going to be. There's the beginning of, what do you cry for, kid? It's in there. Well, God gave us a freedom and an independence. He gave us a curiosity. He gave us an ability to learn. And He wants us to be curious about Himself. And He wants us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And He wants us to talk about His wondrous works. To justify ourselves? No, to magnify Him. And that business about creation, when you hear somebody argue in creation versus evolution, and he's producing all of this evidence about what God did, that is self-justification, and God says, I'll not give my glory to another. When you come out of that argument and you feel like, I'm right, you're on the wrong road. You are. That stuff shouldn't make you feel that way. And, of course, every bit of this stuff that I'm telling you about came from a study just like that. But the guy did have it right. He said, God has given us a curiosity about things around us. And when you study Him, you should bring Him glory. He didn't say it just in those terms, but he got about as close as you can. But the point is, it's about God. It's not about, see what I know? Look what I learned. Look what I found. Let's name this bug after me. You name the bug after the one that made it, man, not after the one that found it. You feel like you really did something if you found it. Anyway, that thing's totally self-contained. Now, on the outside of it, there's about 10,000 holes. What's that for? It's for air, And it's also to let the liquid that's inside that egg get out of there. You ever seen that chicken when it's born? It's wet, right? But you realize if that moisture that was inside that egg didn't get out, that chick would drown. So how does it get out? How come the egg doesn't leak and get dry and stuff? Well, God's designed the whole thing. It's put together, and it's put together just like your car is. You get a brand new car off the end of the assembly line. They get everything finished. They put oil in that thing. They put gasoline in the thing. They prep it. They crank it through, lubricate all the parts in it with assembly lube. They go out there and they crank that thing up. You think that thing would start if it didn't have pistons? You think it's possible that that car could evolve ever? Not ever. Why? Because all the parts have to be there from the beginning. And if they're not there from the beginning, it ain't going to happen. You can't take that stuff and turn this into this, into this, into this, into this. They say, well, over a million years, over a billion years. Okay, well, let's give a car a billion years and let's see how well they evolve. Oh, that's different. No, it's not. It's created. It's made. It's designed. This egg is designed. Moving along, that thing has got five parts. You realize it was made on the fifth day? And say, what are you talking about? What do you think, those chickens had to wait for a long time before they started laying eggs? Do you think so? You say, well, you know, it took a little time. Oh, really? What do you think Adam and Eve ate the first day of their life? They had to wait for the fruit to ripen, the blossoms to finish growing. When God creates it, He creates it complete. He creates it finished. It's done. You don't have to add anything to it. You don't have to wait around and say, well, we got to get from this stage to the next stage. Not going to happen like that. When God does something, He does it complete. These people that think, in the beginning God created a heaven and the earth was without form and void. Well, God just kind of messed up when He made it the first time, so then He had to fix what He did. Not at all. Anyway, it's got a shell, it's got a membrane, it's got a yolk, it's got a white, and it's got fertilization. Now, how does that liquid get out of that egg without it leaking? Well, there's some really unique things about that egg. On the fifth day, five, another coincidence probably, the fifth day, the heart starts to beat. Well, you know what has to be there for the heart to beat? Well, you got to have something for it to pump. You got to have some plumbing for it to pump it into. So the day that heart shows up, it's already got blood vessels. What's that? That's cells that grow in a pipes that go very specific places. They don't just randomly kind of mush around inside of the egg. Where are you going? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know. It's got two of them that goes out and connects that thing to the outside of that membrane. It's got two more that go out and connect that thing into the white of the egg. What happens immediately is that thing begins to circulate those fluids through the inside of that egg so that the moisture gets out there and it eliminates waste on the outside of that membrane so that it'll ooze through those holes. And then it brings in air from the outside and it takes that stuff and goes over there into that white of the egg and it starts drawing nourishment in for that thing to start growing on the fifth day. By the way, the life of the flesh is in the blood and it goes for chickens too. Everything's fine up until the 19th day. Now, by then, it's already got a brain, it's got eyes, it's got a beak, it's got a tongue, it's got all of its internal organs, it's got feet, it's got toenails, it's got feathers. I mean, it's got all kinds of crazy stuff. But it's got one more thing that doesn't last long enough to even get outside that shell. Say, what's that? It's called an egg tooth. Right on the end of that chicken's beak, there's a little bump that comes up and it's hard. It's on the outside of the beak. It's almost like it's deformed. And that thing's called an egg tooth. What's it do? On the 19th day, it goes up to that membrane and breaks a hole in that membrane. You know, when you boil those eggs, you got that little hollow spot at the end? There's just enough air inside of that for 6 hours. That chick's got 6 hours to break a hole in that thing and be able to start working to get out. And if it doesn't break a hole in that thing and start working, if it just breaks a hole in there and starts breathing and says, oh, okay, I can relax now. You know what happens? It dies. It don't get out. But it starts working to peck a hole in there, and it's got 6 hours to make an air hole in the side of that shell. I wonder if that's something like us. Here this chick is inside the shell. It breaks a hole in there. It's got a chance now to do something. If it pecks a hole in that shell, it gets life and goes on ahead. You know how you're born? You're born in sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all had sinned. You know what? If you don't do something, you're going to drop dead at the end of your life, and you're going to die twice. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. What do you have to do? What you got to do is you got to find some way to get some life. For that chick, it's air, and it's got to be outside that shell, otherwise it's going to die. For us, it's got to be Jesus Christ. That's what we have to do. And if we don't do something, we're going to end up just like a lazy chick. We're going to end up dead. And that's not the only one. There's a whole bunch of stuff just like that in nature. In fact, I wouldn't hesitate to think that God's incorporated that into almost every single thing out there in what He created. If you don't do what I desire you to do, you're going to drop dead. And if we don't do what God desires us to do, we're going to experience the second death. And there's no question about it. Anyway, so what happens? He continues to peck away on the outside of that thing, and he knocks holes in it. And on the 21st day, that little egg tooth breaks off, and he comes completely out of the shell on the 21st day. And like I said, from what I've been told, every single fowl, those things hatch on an increment of 7 days. You say, how come? I don't know. Why'd God do anything else by seven? Because He likes it. Why'd it take Him 7 days to create everything? Because that's how He likes to do it. Let me tell you something. If you can speak things into existence, like He said, by the breath of His mouth, if you can do that, if you want to do it in 7 days, I'm not going to argue with you. You basically do anything you want. What's a 500-pound gorilla do? Anything he wants. What's God do? He does what pleases Him. Do you notice that God is not involved in anger and hate and viciousness and violence? That's some weird stuff, boy. You get into that stuff. That is not God. Does God do that? Yes, He does. Why does He do it? He does it for His pleasure to get where He wants to be. Why do you think it pleased God to bruise Jesus Christ? Because He liked the blood and the gore? He liked the pain and the suffering? No, it's the results that make a difference. Anyway, so he hatches out. Now, there was one chick, a real odd one, that laid 371 eggs in 1 year. Most of them lay like one a day, and then they'll have periods where they kind of stop, and then they keep going. But this one particular chicken that they were counting the eggs laid 371 of them in a year. That's 46 pounds of eggs in 1 year. 46 pounds? That's like laying that thing's body weight every month in eggs. How come so many? Because God knew we were going to eat some. How can a chicken eat enough food to stay alive and still lay eggs to its own body weight every month and still function everything that it does normally? The way it does it is God designed it that way. That's how it works. We got a creator that's just absolutely phenomenal. When he puts that stuff out, he puts it out quick. He didn't have to spend a bunch of time saying, okay, now this is the way you're supposed to be egg, and you're supposed to have this part and this piece, these holes in here. He didn't have to do that. All he had to do was say, the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and let the fowl multiply on the earth. That's all he had to say. Who does that cover? It covers all of them. You know, if that chick pecks a hole in that air sac and takes a breath of that air and says, that's what I wanted. He dies. You know why? Because they're thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about the future. You know what happens to mankind? Mankind comes along and he thinks about himself his whole life. He's stuck and fixated on himself. What I want. How much more do I want? I want to get this. I want to get that. That Bible says it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You know why? It's not because of the money, necessarily. It has to do with the guy is so fixated on what he wants. It's just all about me. What a sad state of affairs. You get down to that level and pretty soon you realize that, well, ain't no wonder a bunch of these people go off into hell. How come? Because it's just about what I want and how I feel. We're almost as guilty. What do you want from God? Now think about this. You ever prayed? You know, I prayed once. When was that? Well, that's when I bought that lottery ticket. God didn't answer that one, so I figure he don't care. I said, okay, God, you don't bother me, I won't bother you. I've heard people testify to that kind of stuff. What do we want from God? We want His help, His provision. We want His protection. We want His guidance. We want His blessings. We want some joy. We want a problem solved. Like what? Money, children, parents, spouse, friends, health, country, church, job, don't we? You think about what your prayers are about. Here's a good question for you. What do you want for Him? What do you desire for your Creator? Kind of been left out, hasn't it? It's just so much about us. We don't even think about Him a whole lot. Our prayers are about us. Oh, God, you know, you give me $1 million, I give you 10%. Insanity. Why? Because I get to keep 90. I remember I told you this before, but my sister one year at Christmas, my brother and I got mad about this thing, and the Lord used it. He's used it to show me all kinds of things. But one year, my sister went out and took the money that our mother had given us to go buy Christmas presents. She'd give us some money. We'd go buy presents for her and for grandmother and for each other and stuff. My sister went out and bought my mother a jar of hand cream. I mean, that thing was probably 39 cents or something. I don't know how much it cost. And that's all she gave her. And she did the same thing basically with everybody else and kept all the rest of that money for herself. That's human nature. You know what we want from God? We want all we can get from Him. You know what we want for Him? Don't even cross our minds. We were made for Him. He is not made for us. Well, if we know that, how come we don't function on a better level than we do? Our desires should be more for His benefit than for our own. Shouldn't it? You know that's true. And so the question comes out and you answer, between you and God, who's your first priority? You or Him? Most all the time, it is not Him. Why? None seeketh after God. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When are you going to convert that into seek His pleasure, seek His benefit, seek His blessing? To tell you the truth, our gratitude stops at the level of what He does for us. When is His generosity going to convert in our lives to such a point that our desire becomes for Him? Not trying to pay Him back, just simply because you love Him and you want to do something for Him. You want to see Him blessed. You want to see Him praised. David said, every day will I praise Thy name. We get up in the morning, oh man, we got to go out there and get after it. What about praying? I ain't got time for that. You don't have time not to. Well, yeah, that's right. I got to pray and ask Him to help me today and keep me safe on the road, man, and get them prices of gas down and solve this election problem. When is it going to be about Him? I mean, let's say that the people you don't want to get elected in this country get elected. Are you going to be able to say, praise God, and mean it? If not, it's because you don't desire what He desires. If the powers that be are ordained of God, then He got what He wanted, didn't He? Well, man, say praise God and move along. You realize we're living in a very unusual time. I mean, I've heard this stuff all my life. I remember going back and listening to history lessons about how things were in World War I and in World War II, you know, and how all of the politics went and the rest of that other stuff. There's always been weird times, but they're nothing like today. Man, it looks like every country in this world is right on the edge of falling over and collapsing and caving in. How come? Because God let them get in that state. How come? So that the Antichrist would have an easy way to get in there. How come? So he can come back and get us sooner. Who's going to protect you? God. Well, can't we have a sense of gratitude to the level that we desire something back for Him instead of just getting something from Him all the time? What does He get? What does He actually get from you? Well, if He gets your love, He gets a whole lot of other stuff with Him, right? Like I said, you can't start loving God. You can't control what you love and what you don't love. The only way that that can happen is for you to start knowing more about it and understanding it and appreciating it. I guarantee you, any good parent who has children, if the children really understood their parents, they would appreciate them and they would be more in love with them as a result of what? appreciation. Where does appreciation come from? It comes from knowing their parents better. So if you're going to start, if you got a desire to love God, if you got any desire at all to know your Creator, if you got any desire at all to respond to any things, the first prayer you need to start praying is, Lord, teach me to know You and who You are and what You like and what You don't like. And if He'll start giving you some of that knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Holy, if He'll start doing those things, it'll begin to change how you think. It'll begin to change how you feel. You won't have to struggle with faith. You won't have to struggle with fear because He's got it. When are we going to trust God? Well, if you can't trust Him now, how are you going to trust Him when things get worse? That Bible says over in that one place, if the footman weary thee, how canst thou contend with horses? You know what He's saying there? He's saying, if you're worried right now and you got food in your refrigerator and gas in your gas tank, and you got a job and you still got some money and you got a place that'll keep the rain off of you, and you're worried right now, what do you think's going to happen when things really get tough? When you go to the store and there isn't anything to buy? They were talking about Zimbabwe or someplace down there where the inflation rate had gotten to the point where Kleenex were more valuable than a piece of money. Man, it's cheaper to use money than Kleenex. He said, you walk into the store and the price has changed 3 or 4 times while you're walking up and down. He said, people have quit using their money, man. They've gone to the barter system. You know what's going to happen if things get really bad around here? The people that are going to survive the best are going to be the ones that love each other, care about each other, and have a desire to help each other with some kind of moral character. You realize that? And the only ones of those people that are left on this earth, it looks like to me, basically, are the Christian community. The rest of those people, they're just all what I can get and how long can I keep it. Well, anyway, kind of been a bumpy road this morning, but at the same time, we've got a great God. We've got one that's designed us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. As far as I know and understand, we are the pinnacle of His creation, at least everything that we know. We're not only made in His image, but we're made to interact with Him. Not just learn about Him, that knowledge leading to learning. It's supposed to lead to action. We are supposed to interact with Him. So when you bust an egg open next time, take a peek inside of that thing and realize who designed it and how that thing has stayed consistent for thousands of years. It says after their kind, consistent, thousands of years. Let's close in prayer.